I just wanted to welcome everybody this morning. This is Heart to Heart Live with Cindy White. I am Cindy White. And I just wanted to explain, first of all, why Heart to Heart and what Heart to Heart is all about. And I have a son that had a serious heart problem, and going through this, realized that he would need a heart transplant. And so at the time, I knew I wanted to become a coach, and I felt like the Lord just gave me the title Heart to Heart for my coaching business. And so this is Heart to Heart Live, my first one, and I wanted to interview my son because he's the reason why I'm doing this, but also he has an incredible story that should be encouraging, and also realizing that as he went through his trial of his heart problems, is pretty devastating. A lot of people go through traumatic experiences and wonder how they're going to get through. Well, sometimes when we go through things, especially that we've never been through before, we kind of all wonder that, how are we going to get through? And yet through his story, and which was our story, Jeremy is my son, and our whole family went through this, and we realized that every step of the way, God was with us. God was with us, holding our hand, picking us up and carrying us at times, and guiding us every step of the way, providing for us and all of those other things. So just seeing Jeremy is on here, and I'm going to introduce Jeremy to you. As soon as we can see him here, there he is. Jeremy, you have quite a story that we're all going to hear, and I'm sure that we're going to be inspired by your story. I know as your mom, I am really inspired by what you've gone through for many reasons. I'll just say that. And so I want you to, first of all, explain what life was like before you ended up taking a dramatic turn.
All right. I have a stroke too, so I can't speak sometimes, sorry. But I live a life with a lot of adventure, and I travel a lot, and I'm enjoying my life a lot, and I hike big mountains and travel other parts of the world, and I love that, and I just got back from the Middle East to Spokane. I have a planned knee surgery. So I just come back from that trip and have a knee surgery. And the next day, it's my life really changed after that. But before I love my life, and I want to, I'm excited to live.
Well, and I'll just add something here too, Jeremy. Before your knee surgery, you were quite the adventure. And I know you would agree that a lot of your friends said that they live life through you, because you would post things on Facebook of where you've been in the world. And it was whether you're scuba diving in Hawaii or running with the bulls in Spain, which against your mom's better judgment. And all you traveled the world, and you had a pilot buddy that gave you a buddy pass, basically, so you were able to travel pretty inexpensively. And right out of college, you just took that time to be that adventurous person. You also climbed Mount Rainier and a lot of the other mountain peaks in North America anyway. And so a lot of people said that they lived their life through you. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you knew you were going to be having this, it was a work-related injury to fix your knee because of a job that just wore your knee out that you had. And so right before that, you took a trip to Israel and Egypt. And we have some pictures that you'll show, but you were able to ride camels around the pyramids. And then within just a few days, you were having surgery.
Mm.
And I remember as your mom, that next day after surgery, the nurse called to just check on you. And she asked how you were doing. And you said, actually, I'm having a little pressure in my chest and I have a hard time breathing. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so she suggested you get to the hospital right away. And we went to one hospital. And as soon as, it was this, like, I don't know that if you remember this, but what I remember is the waiting room at the hospital is full. It's like a movie that we are walking into. The ER is packed with people. We go into the ER. Everybody is pretty much on top of you, checking you for whatever, and then they rush you back. And then within minutes, we are in an ambulance, you and I, going to Sacred Heart Hospital in Spokane, which is for your heart. Mm. And after a few days, really, of trial and error, they discovered that you had end-stage heart failure. So when you discovered that, what was going on in your mind at that moment?
I feel a little scared. My body is healthy. I think so, but I hike a lot and travel everywhere. And I'm fit. So no problems with my money, but besides my knee. But they tell me I have end-stage heart failure. It's my body is like failing me. It's really scary for me. It's really scary. In my mind, I feel healthy, but I have a problem with the breathing, and inside in my chest, it's not something is wrong. So,
mm-hmm. So you were in CICU, which is a cardiac ICU, for a good portion of 6 weeks during the summer of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was maybe just, I don't know, 4 or 5 days or so after you'd been in the ICU. And we were so overwhelmed with everything that was happening. And it was really life or death for you. And we realized that. And I remember going into your hospital room one day and I asked you, so Jeremy, how are you handling all this? Do you remember what you said to me?
Yeah. You tell that.
Okay. Yeah. He said, God created me to glorify him. And if it means with a new heart, then so be it. And I'll never forget that. You had a handle on what I didn't at that moment. And it was pretty incredible for me as your mom. So I just want to tell you that you really, really minister to me because you kind of put me in my place in a way. And that was reality. We are all created to glorify God. And yeah. It's up to him how he allows us to live out our lives. And so I just really honor you for that perspective. Mm-hmm. Something else that was very real, you were in CICU and you were hearing all the bells and whistles and the code red or all those things.
Lights
go off. What was going on in your mind during that time as well?
Well, the doctors and their nurses tell me, I asked them, what I hear the lights and the, what was that? My neighbors, sometimes their lights go on and sirens. And I asked my nurses, they tell me, he stopped breathing. sometimes they die or live, but my neighbors, and sometimes they die. Yeah, I hope not me, but
I remember you telling us that God gave you the verse, Psalm 23, for even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Mm-hmm. And that was what you held on to during that time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I pray that verse that a lot mm-hmm. in the hospital bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
The nurses tell me in the first time I go to ICU, the nurses tell me after that, survive. You're bad shape. But mm-hmm. yeah, I'm still living. But still surviving.
No, you are. So Jeremy, you have some pictures you'd like to share. Why don't you share your screen at this time, and we'll kind of walk through a few pictures, and then we'll continue on.
All right.
Okay. So this was life before. Where were you at?
My birthday, her 30th birthday in Hawaii. I lived there like 1 year. I stopped scuba diving. Mm-hmm. So good memories.
Yeah. Good, healthy life.
Yeah. I'm really fit. So I feel good. So hike Mount Rainier, Pito site. Scuba diving in Hawaii. Machu Picchu in Peru, and Egypt before my heart problems, like 1 week before heart problems, it big change after that. Me in ICU in Spokane Hospital. Actually, my chest. They give me to help my heart out, LVAD, mechanical heart. The lower portion of the picture is you see the pump insert in my heart. So also I have a pacemaker on the left upper portion.
So, and an LVAD is a left ventricle assist device, or they call it a mechanical heart. And this really, they said, was just a temporary measure or a bridge to a heart transplant.
Yeah.
And when they told us that this is what you needed, again, we were just devastated. We had never even heard of a mechanical heart.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. And one of the things that, Jeremy, you've always had such a great sense of humor. And one thing that you would always do is show people something as a result of your mechanical heart. Can you explain what that was?
Oh, yeah. living in a LVAD, my blood is in steady flow. So when I live with that, no pulse. It's weird, but I can't feel the pulse. Nothing. It's living in with no pulse. It's weird.
One of the things that he had to do is to go to our Deer Park EMTs, the ambulance, and kind of train them on how to take care of him, because if they did CPR or if they tried to find his pulse, you know, CPR would kill him. And taking his pulse, they would think he was dead. So they had to be trained to use a Doppler to find his pulse. Yeah. It was there, very, very slight, but that was just a fun thing and funny thing that we experienced. So go ahead to the next slide.
After a heart surgery from an LVAD, Hard day that day. Me, my Superman pose. After a heart transplant, I led the heart work in Spokane. Every year they have a heart work for other survivors. So, I led 2016, also 17-2. So. Picture of that. Yeah,
a lot of our family and friends were there. That was pretty exciting that Jeremy got to lead that. Incredible. And he did that with, on that mechanical heart. Thing about having the mechanical heart is you can see him in the top middle picture, part of the picture there, is he has batteries that he always has to wear. And because his mechanical heart was battery powered. So everywhere he went, whether he was doing the heart walk or even in the shower, he would be wearing that because otherwise his heart would stop. So that was his life before transplant. So yeah. Is that your last picture?
Yeah, I'll stop sharing.
Okay, thanks. So moving forward, it was December 23rd. 2 days before Christmas, 2018. And I remember because of not only you dealing with your situation and that you had lived at home a lot of that time. But anyway, I also had my own health problems. And so every year for Christmas was just kind of very scattered as far as decorations and getting ready for Christmas and everything. And this year, I did it up. I decorated the house. I mean, it was like I was ready for Christmas, and it was never more beautiful. 2 days before Christmas, it was about 8:30 or 8:45 at night, Saturday night, you came in the house, and I'll never forget it, and you had this beaming smile on your face. Mm-hmm. And can you say what you told us at that time?
They have a heart for me. Yeah. I'm really surprised. I wait almost 3.5 years for the call.
Yeah.
A lot of waiting.
I'll never forget that. They have a heart for me. And so what that meant for our family is that we had to make that trip. We just had to stop everything and get ready to go from the Spokane, Washington area over to Seattle, where he was going to be having a heart transplant. We traveled across Snoqualmie Pass, and it was, there was a blizzard that night, right?
Yeah.
And we it was in the middle of the night, and we just drove, and I knew that we were going to get through that, all that snow, because if God provided a heart for my son, then he was going to make a way for us to get over the pass, and he did. And so what was happening in your mind as we were driving, and what were you doing in the backseat of our car? It was you and your youngest brother and mom and dad in the car driving across the state.
Well, yeah.
What was going on?
Well, at night, we're driving late, so all night. So sometimes I text my friends or my family, or I call them, but it's really late. So, but also I made a video of me. I put my video on Facebook and Instagram, telling other people they have a heart for me. So I go to Seattle for a heart transplant. And I'm really happy.
That was pretty exciting. And it was there was so much unknown, and yet we knew one thing we knew is that even though Jeremy was getting a heart, the bittersweet truth of that was that somebody was dying and not going to have Christmas with their family.
Yeah.
And that was really the bitter truth out of the whole thing. The harsh reality that somebody lost their life, but fortunately they were a donor. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage you, I mean, to be a donor, because you never know how many lives you'll save just because of what you can donate to somebody else. And we're so grateful for this family, for this young man that was a heart donor, was a donor, and gave, by his choice, gave Jeremy his heart. And so we're very thankful for that. We think of their family often as they are living without their son. And especially me, I think of the mom often as I have my son and she doesn't have hers. We were able to meet them, the mom and the brother of this young man, which was pretty exciting actually, just to be able to have that opportunity. And they were actually so blessed to know that their son's heart, the son's heart went to somebody that was healthy and otherwise healthy and strong and young and could live out their life. And so she was very grateful to be able to meet us. So you went into surgery that it was a Sunday morning,
yeah.
10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, same day of the week after my heart transplant, also same day of it, LVAD, Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's really interesting too, because you know, we love the Lord, and the fact that both surgeries ended up being a Sunday morning when so many people know us just from our whole experience, so many people because of Jeremy's world travels and meeting so many different people, a lot of people were praying for us. And what better day than on a Sunday morning to be praying for us during both surgeries? And this particular Sunday was, it was a very serious time that we needed prayer. Jeremy needed prayer. He ended up coming out of that surgery, really waking up that next day. I believe it was Monday. And so what did you expect to happen from what you had read and heard about stories when you woke up?
Well, I asked my dad before my heart surgery, can he record me after I wake up? I see other people, they're really happy when they wake up for a new heart transplant. I wanted to see my reactions when I wake up, but he did. But next day on Christmas Eve, wake up and I can't speak. Nothing. The doctors, they don't know I have a stroke. Same surgery, after a heart transplant, but they found out later on, but I wake up like Monday morning, and I can't speak, and I can't move my right side. I can't smile. I drool the side. I can't move my arm, like nothing. And I feel like I'm a daze. Like, it's weird. It's really weird.
Yeah, when we realized that Jeremy had had a stroke, it was hours after he should have woken up. And we discovered he had a stroke. And it was very interesting because something that was so unusual, even for them, is they had to transport Jeremy to a different hospital to do the surgery because of his stroke. And this is transferring a fresh heart transplant patient, which was just incredible that they were able to do that. And, but it was pretty serious. It was a very serious stroke. And so he was left with not being able to talk. And as you know now, he can talk so much better, and yeah. He's getting better all the time. But I was there with him during the when he was transported to the other hospital and came back. And then when he woke up from that procedure, and we realized that he was going to need a lot of rehab, a lot of rehabilitation. He had speech therapy, physical therapy. What other therapy? You had about four of them, I think.
ED,
occupational.
Yeah.
Occupational therapy. Yeah.
And
yeah. So.
Yeah.
So Jeremy, I actually lived with Jeremy in an apartment that they had for people just like him that were in the hospital, needing rehab after surgery, and we lived in the Seattle area for 3 months. And almost every day was to go to the hospital for these different doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
And then we would go for walks and just, really live there during this beginning stages of him going through rehab. And so it's been a long journey for you just to get to the point where you're at today. And going back, it was still weeks after your surgery, and you hadn't spoken at all.
No.
And I'll never forget it. And I can say this because I'm your mom. Yeah. But I remember when we thought you wanted the nurse, and so I was going to get the nurse, and you didn't want the nurse. And so just an automatic reaction, you said, "My mom." And like everybody in the room was like, "Jeremy talk." It's like, you know, a baby that's learning how to talk. That's how we felt. And yeah. We all cried. I mean, there is something there. Jeremy can actually say words, you know. That was just unbelievable moment for all of us. And then you just started speaking and saying, you know, words at a time, and then finally sentences and so forth. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long haul. So what has been the reason why you have just been persevering through this whole thing? Because there's so many people that what you have gone through, they would have just given up.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not thinking of the present time now, but think in the future. Sometimes you easy to give up a lot, and other people they do, but. I didn't, and it's I never give up, and it's a lot of therapy and speech therapy, PT, years, but every time I'm getting better, so my goal to speak pretty good in the future, but now I speak okay now, but I can't write, and now I can't speak and read and write. Before my stroke, I can't do that, but it's come back, and I see my simple things I do before, but last year and 2 years ago, I can't do them. Now I can. But I've never give up. The pain is temporary, but sometimes the pain helps you grow. Sometimes it's hard to grow. So,
yeah, Jeremy, yeah. What lessons have you learned, if you were to think back about some lessons during this time that you can share with us?
I look back my battles I face, and sometimes I win, sometimes I'll lose, but every time I look back, And when I, the battles I face, when I win, I feel great. And yeah, not good answer, but
that's okay. Something that I have seen you, and also because you have such a social media following, because of everybody's been watching your journey when you were an adventurer, and then this, as you have said yourself, was the hardest mountain to climb, was dealing with your heart. I know some people have told us and told you that your story has encouraged them so much because of your perseverance, your belief in God, that God has always been there, although you have admitted that there have been challenges. I mean, no, anybody that's facing some serious trials obviously will challenge, where is God in all this? God, have you failed me? Have you had those kind of thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With also with living with the LVAD, I don't know what time I received the call from my heart, but yeah, sometimes I feel really low in life that time.
Yeah. But they also say that you just kept going, and your perseverance has really helped them to just keep going, just take one day at a time. Something really just kind of made me think that I remember you said one time when you were during the time you had an LVAD, you taught a survival training class. Yeah. At a homeschool program, and you had how many kids, and just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, after my heart with LVAD, I started teaching my survival class in school. I have like 10 kids, and first time for me. I love survival school skills, and I do them when I hike sometimes, and I learn a lot about them. And when I teach other two kids, they want to learn. So, and I really enjoy my time there. And I before my heart transplant, I'm still teaching there, but after my stroke, I can't speak, so I'll stop. But maybe later on, I'll get back to it. But I really enjoy the time there, and with every year, I have new kids, and
I remember you said you told me that was your favorite hour of your whole week.
Yeah.
And what made me think about that is sometimes when you're going through trials, just having something that keeps you going, keeps you moving forward. Wouldn't you say that is true?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't let those kids down. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like you had a lot of fun in that class too.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Anyway, so what do you have going in your future? I know you've got a couple things coming up that are pretty exciting, and one has to do with weightlifting. Talk about that.
Yeah. My body is getting better, and I'm still dealing with my knee, but getting better too. I hike now, and this year I hike along a lot of ways, a lot of miles, and I go to the gym almost 6 days a week, and I feel good, but I'm facing a little battle. Like I injured my shoulder, so it's I want to compete with a bodybuilding, but maybe I'll wait for later. But so it's I have same problems with my body Mm-hmm. But I keep hope, you know. You never hope die. So you keep hope, and you look in the future. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we face battles, hard battles. But me, I want to live. Mm-hmm. I enjoy living, and I want to make my life worth something. So
you have something coming up in June. What is that?
Yeah, I'm getting married in June. I'm really excited with Lisa. So it's I'm excited for that wedding. So we are going to Belize on a honeymoon. So I'm trying to scuba dive in the big hole.
Yeah. So you're going to Belize.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah, that's pretty exciting. So there is a lot of life to be lived after a heart transplant and a stroke.
Yeah.
And yeah. One of the things that I think is always so interesting is even with Lisa, you met Lisa when you talked worse than you do now. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, okay, there was something there that she saw in you that she fell in love with even way back then. But you are planning your future, and there's a lot of future to be had. I love that you're wearing your shirt. Can you stand up and show everybody a little bit your shirt? Yeah. Okay. That's what a heart looks like. And Jeremy has other pictures of heart that I wouldn't let him show on this Zoom meeting that, you know, are not so pretty. His doctor actually took a picture of his old heart and his new heart that was beating in his chest, that he has those pictures. So anyway, I just want to thank Jeremy. It's really been great to have you on my very first Heart to Heart Live. Yeah. And you're the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm just so thankful that God spared your life, and he has an amazing future for you and Lisa. And just so thrilled for you guys. Also, just wanted to let everybody else on the call know that the first of the month, on Wednesdays, the very first Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, we will be doing these Heart to Heart Lives, and I will be interviewing other people. So I would love to have you join us. You'll be made known about this if you are following me on Instagram at all. But anyway, just want to say God bless you all, and thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks again, Jeremy.
Thank you.